everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy. You have your two favorite Grey's Anatomy hosts in the entire world. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful night for a podcast. And we are back, and we would like to start by saying thank you so much
for your patience.
Last week was a disaster. My grandfather was in the ICU. He was ventilated for 3.5 days, and then they pulled him off the vent, and it was like, yay, progress. And then it was like immediate regression. Luckily, he never had to go back on it, but there was just like a lot of back and forth and like going back down to the hospital, and like ICU visiting hours are very specific. So it's like a really bizarre schedule to keep. And then like making sure I had to, like, I was going kind of helping my grandmother. She doesn't really need to be driving. She can. She gets mad when we tell her not to. But I was like, kind of, we were having those conversations and shuffling her around. And then there was more things with the hospital. And then everything's good now. He's being discharged from the hospital and going to an inpatient physical therapy rehab facility just to make sure he can like get around well on his own before he fully goes home.
Which is important.
And positive. And I'm done with the hospital. I had a lot of very positive experiences with doctors and nurses, and then a very, very negative experience with one singular doctor. And I was like, I told Michael, I was like, you know, sometimes I watch Grey's Anatomy and I see these doctors be kind of dicks to patients, and I'm like, it's okay, I still like them. And after that interaction, I was like, I'm gonna start liking these characters less because of the way this man talked to me.
His name was Derek, ironically.
His name was Derek Shepherd.
Yes, no. We have had a week. Jess also has gone through some personal stuff. She's better now. Ended up, actually, today's episode, I almost was like, can we just do tomorrow? Like, you know.
I was like, we're going to have to move it again.
Yeah, so we didn't, though. Everything's good. Also, before we get too far away from things, go to Instagram and like, subscribe, hit the 5-star button, review, follow, comment, leave a review, do the thing. That's really, really nice. We appreciate it on all the platforms you listen to. It goes a long way for our podcast. We are getting more and more listeners in Italy, which is very exciting. The motherland for me. I actually have a shout out for someone in Italy as well. We'll get to that in a moment. And go to patreon.com/Grey's Academy Pod. The Discord will be on fire again starting tomorrow, I am sure of it. Because of my predictions came true. All of my predictions have come untrue.
If you don't follow us on Instagram, we do post on the stories over there, like if we have to have a schedule change. So if you are following there, that's just like the best place to stay up to date. So like last week we just posted that there wasn't going to be an episode. Thank you to people who reached out. I will be honest, I did not respond to a lot of people because I did not know what was going on with my grandfather at the time. And I didn't want to say the same story over and over again, but he is much better now. It was just like mentally exhausting, and it was just like very worrisome. If you've ever had a family like member go through, especially when they're in an older age, it's the nice way to put it.
Yeah.
When they're 84 years old, it's just, you never know how anything's going to go. Yeah. It very much came out of nowhere, and it was just like snowballing all at once. But yes, if you follow us on Instagram, that's where we'll post, like, if we have any schedule updates. Either normally it's just like, oh, it will be a day late. We try really hard not to miss a week.
Most
of the time we can just push it a day. But last week I was just like, I am not like focused at all. Like, I am going to be distracted. I am going to be grumpy and sad. So I was like, I cannot do it. Like, I don't have the vibes. So we decided to push it. Plus also, this is just such like, this episode specifically needs full focus and like a lot of discussion. And I was like, I don't know. So I'm very glad. And I had watched it already last week, but I rewatched it again today to get it back fresh in my mind. Cause I was like, I know it's just people be having thoughts about this one.
It is a good one.
I will say we have a couple new Patreon members we're going to shout out before we get started. So we have Abby is a new Patreon member.
Hey-o!
And Aaron is a new Patreon member. Thank
Aaron!
You both to Abby. Thank you, Abby and Aaron, so much. We appreciate
you. Guys
you.
Are the best. You guys are the best. I've got a couple
Simply
of
the best.
Instagram shout outs. One is more of like a beef that I want to call out. Brianna, oh, slow down watching Private Practice. You're making
Don't.
Me look bad.
Yes, that's the point.
Oh, okay. Want to shout out Serena again, our Italy Grays Academy fan club president. She said that if we do ever come out to Italy, she's going to organize an event and literally get all of her Shondaland friends to come and hang out with us. So,
oh my God, the dream.
Italy is now added to the tour.
My mom's going to Italy in May.
Oh, wow. Very demure.
Very cutesy.
Very cutesy. Want to shout out Sarah. Sarah is a new subscriber. She actually reached out to me first. She sent me a meme. I'm going to read it here. In 2024, the film The Princess Diaries 2, The Royal Engagement, Stan Lee made a cameo, which indicates that The Princess Diaries is part of the MCU. In this essay, I will explain how Mia Thermopolis, the Princess of Genovia, will defeat
yes.
Thanos.
I love
Classic.
That.
Classic. Want to also shout out Allie. Allie is listening from Sydney, Australia. So we really appreciate you listening from down under, as they say. What's the other thing they say? Put a fucking shrimp on the
Barbie. I'm sure all the Australian people are loving this.
America's great, guys. I promise we don't all think that you're like that. But I do have to say, anytime I hear the old Flash movie End of Z World, I have to tell myself fucking kangaroos. But anyways, so we really, really appreciate you, Allie. Thank you so much for being a part of us. She actually had told me that her favorite part of the show is from season two when I killed Dylan, the bomb guy. So sorry that I killed him for you, Allie. Shout out to Diamond reached out to ask about if there was an episode. We just started talking. Shout out to Bryson, who is only in season 5, episode 15 right now, where we just started Private Practice. So Bryson, shout out to you. And then I think I have one last shout out. No, I don't think so. Did I screw this up? Did I miss someone? If I did, I'm sorry. I love you. Nope, that's it. That is it. All right.
Excuse me.
You know
me.
What I was thinking about the other day, too?
Edit that sneeze out.
No, I will not. I shan't. Not only do I not have the time, I do not have the patience to do it. I don't care. Also, there was someone who reached out and said that they thought the podcast burp or the podcast sneeze or podcast yawn, whenever we shout that out, they're like, oh, that's weird. Like, why do you do that? That started on the last podcast that Kelsey and I had done together at Dude Thoughts, and it's just kind of become this little teeny weeny inside joke thing. So
we've also had people tell us that, like, if they burp or yawn, they'll say podcast yawn or podcast burp.
Really?
Like, in real life. Yeah. I remember someone messaging us and saying that.
I love that. That brings me joy.
I agree.
New thing. If you burp or yawn in public, you just have to yell podcast yawn, and people immediately think that you have a podcast and you're like super successful and famous low key. So I was thinking about this the other day before we actually jump all the way in. You know, old people kind of have their own villain hero arc that they live in, right? Like, as parents, they're your hero. And then you become a teenager and they heel turn to villain. And then they stay kind of like in between this will they, won't they turn good, will they use their powers for evil, all the way up until they have the kid has children. And then grandma and grandpa, hero arc, hard turn towards the baby face, right? And then they start to lose their cognition, or sometimes those old dudes get a little bit handsy with the girls in the restaurants and they shouldn't. Hard heel turn, hard villain turn, right? They start to lose their car privileges. You take away their keys. Villain turn, right? And then they're on their deathbed. Hero's journey complete. They say they're sorry for all the things that they've done wrong to you in their life. And then in heaven, they're angels. You know, like, it's an interesting thing. I was thinking about this the other day.
That was very specific.
Yeah.
And interesting that that's where your mind goes to.
Well, you know, I'm back in therapy now, so.
Oh, how? Oh, yes, you have to give us an update on all your appointments.
I feel like that's got to be a Patreon exclusive episode. I got, because it's just so much. Like, I crammed four appointments into one day.
Well, we will update that Carmen's blood pressure was not bad.
Yeah, I had good blood pressure.
And then I got mine taken that same day, and it was the same. It was 122 over 70. Well, I think mine was 122 over 78. Wait, no, that's what yours was. I think we ended up having the same blood pressure because I also had gone to the doctor that day. And I do not have gestational diabetes, even though I convinced myself that I did have it.
Congrats.
Thanks.
I do have a slightly elevated cholesterol, but the doctor's not worried. So I hard turned into having a smoothie with super greens, matcha, a high fiber diet every day. So I'm making that. Chia seeds.
Good job.
Lots of chia seeds. And then, you know, I rounded out the week with a lot of Chinese food tonight, so.
And then I sent some cookies to your house, which will help.
That, like,
but they're not for you, so.
Okay, Jess is not going to eat the blackberry-looking cheesecake thing. I'm going to destroy that.
I think it's lemon blueberry cheesecake.
Shut the fuck up, I'm eating that.
I think it is, yeah.
I'm going to eat it. All right. Anyways, I guess we should talk about
Grey's Anatomy.
This is the Marvel crossover. This is the Marvel Cinematic What If crossover.
Hold on. I'm so sorry. There is something screaming in my ear. Where is this noise coming from?
Is it like what noise is it making?
It's an ad.
Is it a podcast ad or is it?
I don't know. I'm losing my mind. There's so many things happening right now. I cannot think.
Well, then while you think through that, I will just let everyone know, in case you missed it last week or the week before when I was talking about what I'm doing for my doctor's appointments. I got a primary care physician appointment, a dentist appointment, a dermatology appointment, and a therapy session. So crammed like an entire year's worth of medicine into one. The only thing I didn't do was like a massage. That would have been, or like a pedicure would have been nice, I think, too. So anyways, Kelsey, how you doing over there? Oh, and I got a dog. We got a dog. So surprise. There's no name for her yet. I personally have like two or three names that I think are really, really great that I'm hopeful we keep, but Jessica is also like not sure what she wants to do. So that's okay. All right. This is going to sound a little bit weird, but there was some technical difficulties, but we're good. There was in your real world time, there should be very minimal things changing, but in our time, it's been a journey. But I have a dog.
You got an update for everybody.
Yeah, I got a dog. It's great, but that's all I'm going to say. Just the dog. She doesn't have a name yet. There is a name that I want. There's a name that I specifically want. And it was Jessica. What Jessica does is frustrating. She will put out a banger idea and I'm like, that's it. That's the one. And then she'll be like, no. And I'm like, it's the bangeriest of banger ideas. The name that I want to go, that Jessica suggested, that now she says isn't the right name, is Vanellope Von Schweetz.
Wait, that's so cute.
I fucking know!
Why is she going back on that?
I don't know.
I will say, Carmen has, before they even got this dog, known what he wanted to name their next dog. So for him to say, oh, there's a better idea, is a big deal.
It was going to be Ahsoka Tano. And if we kept with this, but what Jessica doesn't understand is this completely changes the trajectory and the worlds that we can go into as naming our pets from now on. Because
not really.
They were only
You've
Star
just
Wars.
Just widened the portfolio because they're still owned by the same parent company.
That's fair. That's fair.
It just expands your world into Disney, Pixar, Studios, potentially even Marvel.
It's true.
All under the same umbrella.
But I've never met a dog named Vanellope von Schweetz. I have met a dog named Thanos. So, although I've never met a dog named Ultron.
That's not a good name for a dog.
Okay.
If that's the name of your dog, I'm sorry. It's not a good name. That's a good name for a cat. Or a fish.
Actually, Ultron is
a turtle. A good name for a turtle.
Oh, yeah. People at work were trying to be like giving me all the dog names from like cinema. They're like, what about Bolt or Lassie or like, what was the other one they said? I don't remember. It's another dog name. And I'm like, everyone just call
me. We get a girl dog. We'll be naming her Dolly. I'm pretty set on that.
Oh, should I steal that from you? Should I steal Dolly?
If you did, I'd be bad. Dolly Barkton.
Dolly Barkton. No, I'm just going to peer pressure Jessica into Vanellope von Schweetz. I think I'm just going to buy a custom dog dog tag for this dog. So anyways, I'll tell you the full story in a Patreon update episode that we'll do like this week or next week. And I'll tell you all about my therapy journey and my doctor journey. And spoiler alert, I had a skin thing removed and it was very awkward.
Why was it awkward?
Well, I'll tell you in the
Patreon.
Was it
on your wiener?
Yep.
Wait, speaking of wieners.
Uh-oh.
I started watching. That sounds so weird. I started
speaking of schlongs.
A USA show that's on Netflix. I didn't know it was a USA show. It was just on Netflix. And I started watching it. And it's a USA show. And I was like, damn, there's a lot of fucking naked people on this. Is that all USA shows?
Which show?
I think it's called Suits. Just kidding. It's called The Sinner.
I've never heard of The Sinner, but also I have one of my best friends, Tanya, is starting Suits from scratch. And I'm like, bless up.
Okay, but do all your other USA shows have a lot of naked people in them?
No, I don't think there's
this
any
show
USA.
Has so much nudity. So
are there
much
actual,
aggressive sex.
Actual nips?
No, but there's actual ass.
Oh,
actually,
okay.
I think there may have been one nipple, but it was like a flash.
Okay, then it's definitely there is a lot of sex in USA Network shows. They know what they're doing.
Okay. Also, one last thing before we get started. Spotify was like, "Oh, you've had a billion people comment on your platform page for years, and we've just been approving it and not telling you." So I was like combing back through them and someone was like, I love this podcast, but someone needs to get Carmen laid because it's all he ever talks about. He sounds like a high school boy. I just need to clarify. Carmen does get laid pretty regularly and that's just still how he talks. This is just what's happening in this man's brain. I don't know what to tell you. There's literally nothing any of us can do about it. I'm so sorry. But also, what episode of Grey's Anatomy doesn't have some sex in it? So it's probably somewhat relevant.
Yeah. Also, I get poon, okay?
All right, settle down.
I get puss.
Oh, no. Edit that out.
No, I just know that they... I know that that word alone bothers you, but I didn't throw the Y at the end of it, you know?
Yeah, I didn't love it still. Okay, this episode is episode 13 of the 8th season of Grey's Anatomy. It is the 161st episode overall. And it is called If Then, and that is a song.
If/Then is okay. Nope.
Yeah, right.
Nope.
Oh, what happened?
I thought I had the actual thing, but If Then is not a musical with libretto by Brian Yorkey and a theatrical score by Tom Kitt.
If Then is also a musical.
But that's yes, not but what this is not what this is about. If Then is a song that I'm going to pull up here. I'm going to go to the album. It is a song from the album Soul on Ice. by Raz, Cass, and Coolio, released in 1996 from Lossless Records. Also, it's the song. I'm sure that there are more songs that have this in here. I was just telling Kelsey, but it opens the line with bitches ain't shit but hoes and tricks. So if you ever just quote that out loud to the world, you're quoting that song.
Such wisdom.
Such wisdom. But yeah, it was released. The album itself was released October 1st, 1996. The actual song didn't have any charting, but the album did reach number 169. Nice. On the U.S. Billboard 200 chart. And it reached number 35 on the U.S. R&B / hip hop albums Billboard. So I am not personally a huge fan of rap. And if I'm listening to rap and hip hop, I got to tell you, it's all about like the 90s rap. That's what I'm here for. So, but the song was, I mean, I guess because that you could quote that line at any time in history and people will know, it's fine. I'm going to give it like a 2, but it did not make it to my iTunes library. So Kelsey, take it away.
Okay, this episode was written by William Harper and directed by Jean-Noir Schwartz. Every time I can, I don't know how to say his name.
Schwa.
It aired February 2nd, 2012, which as of recording this is 3 days ago. And ooh, it aired to 9.71 million views. And the Hulu and Netflix synopsis are Meredith dreams of what her life would have been, which I would say is pretty accurate.
I'm going to start this episode with saying, hell yeah.
People hate this episode.
What?
People hate this episode so much.
What? I can't. Why do I? Okay.
Objectively, like watching it, especially watching it twice, it's well done. I think it's well done. I don't hate it. I've never hated it. There are things that I don't love about it, but I've never been like, this is terrible. There are people that think this is worse than the musical, people that think this is worse than the reality TV episode. Oh, like people hate this episode. Like it is a like divisive episode.
Man, now, okay, you know what?
I know.
I am not a sheep. I love this episode. I do not think it is. Actually, you know what? Here's what I'm going to say. I think that it is both. Listen, you ready? Ready for this, everyone? Hot take alert, okay? Hotter than Kanye and Bianca. What's it? Sensori's take? The take on them? Yeah, well, first off,
not
I don't
good.
Yeah, not a fan. This episode is both better than the musical and it is better than the reality TV episode. This episode was so good. Spoiler alert, that probably gives away my score on this episode. I loved this episode. I constantly was like, "What? That's cool." And yeah, then at one point, you know, Charles isn't dead. And at one point, Charles says, "Oh, shoot me." And I'm like, "Ah, meta level humor."
Yeah. So this is, I think they could have done this same thing and executed it so poorly, but I think they knew what they were going to do and they executed it really, really well. I think this episode would have been super easy to be fucking terrible. And yeah, I think the reason people don't like it is just because it's something different and people don't like deviation.
Oh, give me all the deviation. Give me the fun. Give me the dirty, dirty.
My biggest, the reason for me that this episode is like, but why, is the placement in the season. Because if you'll remember, the end of last episode was Owen screaming at Christina, "You killed our baby," in front of everyone they know and love. And then you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen next week? Nothing, because this is an alternate reality.
Yeah, it's just Meredith going to sleep in what we believe to be the aftermath of the fight.
Yeah.
So that, I get that. I totally agree. It makes no sense on the placement in retrospect. because mainly you know because that this episode should
kind of an it's an emotional cliffhanger from the last episode, and so you're just like, wow, what's gonna happen next? And then it's just like something so far removed. However, I stand by what I said. I think it's they executed it very, very well, and they brought in like there's enough like nods to things without being overly annoying.
Yeah, this could have gone very campy. This could have gone like, because this isn't the part of history where the annals of history where blogs are very popular, social media is becoming like skyrocketing. Mm-hmm. These writers can just go online and say all the things that people are demanding, all the fanfic, all the fandom requests. Let's put it in an episode and just do fan service. And they did some, and they stayed true to a lot of other really cool stuff. Yeah. So, I think like, let's like really jump in this, give it what
first,
it deserves.
I want to read the voiceover from Meredith because I think it is very fitting. So again, this starts with what, like Carmen said, Meredith kind of like putting Zola down and then going to sleep herself. And then allegedly the whole episode is a dream of like, what could have been if X, Y, and Z was different. So this is the voiceover. The baby you have is the baby you are destined to have. It was meant to be. That's what all the adoption people tell you anyway. I'd like to think it's true, but everything else in the world seems so completely random. What if one little thing I said or did could have made it all fall apart? What if I'd chosen another life for myself or another person? We might have never found each other. What if I'd been raised differently? What if my mother had never been sick? What if I'd actually had a good father? What if, what if, what if? Your life is a gift. Accept it. No matter how screwed up or painful it seems to be, some things are going to work out as if they were destined to happen. As if they were just meant to be. So, that was the voiceover. Also, want to note, every song played in this episode is from another episode.
So well, the first it started song off with the same
in this episode, yeah, is the first one from the pilot. It's called Portions for Foxes. Also, I have to apologize. I am at the point of pregnancy where like I simply cannot breathe because there's a baby on my lungs, and I promise I am sitting still, but it does sound like I am like running in place because I cannot breathe and speak. So I apologize for panting into the microphone for 2 full hours. There's
you're doing okay.
Just no room in my body and just so much more of this pregnancy to go. So that is why I sound this way. But okay, so yeah, all the songs in the episode are songs used in previous episodes, mostly from like the first 2 or 3 seasons. So I just liked that. I thought it was really fun. I thought that was a good, again, like nod to the fandom, because again, they've kind of established that music is like plays a pretty big role in the show. So I think it's a good nod to that without being like too much.
Yeah. It's also like we get small flashes of actual real time scene before the dream sequence. So
right.
Hunt and Christine are on the opposite sides of the bed.
Oh yes.
Adele is speaking in the kitchen and she's having a really rough time.
Mm-hmm. Callie and Arizona love each other.
Yeah. So, but let's take a minute from the sponsors. I know this is weird because we basically not talked about the episode, but the technical difficulties kind of threw a wrench in the plan. So we're going to take a quick pause for regional sponsors, and then we're going to jump right in. These messages are brought to you by Charles Percy's Ghost.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle. With Ultra Titanium Alloy Metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
And we are back. Thanks, Chuck. Good luck, Chuck. All right. This was so fun. In the first couple of minutes, you see Meredith walking in. Ellis is alive. And Richard Weber is her daddy. And they take the Weber name. Not the the Ellis Gray name.
Well, Ellis is still Ellis Gray.
Oh, is she?
But Meredith, yeah. They still call her Dr. Gray.
Okay, I don't know how I missed that.
Richard's name. So, yeah. Ellis.
Oh, yeah. They did say that they're going to call it the Gray technique or the...
Yeah.
Rename the Whipple to the Gray method, something like that.
So, the assumption would be that Richard did leave Adele to be with Ellis, and Ellis did leave Thatcher to be with Richard and took Meredith, and like Richard is the one who raised her.
Yeah.
And that all would have been like, I think they say Meredith was like 4 or 5 when all that went down, and Richard initially didn't leave Adele. So would, you know, be the majority of her life. So,
But Richard Ellis seemed sober. Would he have gotten sober being in a relationship with Ellis? Or was the affair what caused him to be an alcoholic?
Adele says that, like, I stayed with you when that woman drove you to the bottom of a bottle or something. So the implication is that it was because the affair with Ellis and staying with Adele was what made Richard do it.
Got it.
So, yeah. They are together. Ellis is chief of staff. I don't know why they like specified that versus chief of surgery, but I did notice that they had that difference. The other differences were they did not merge with Seattle Grace. They absorbed it, which I guess is different.
And Ellis plans on
doing the same thing. They all wear gray instead of blue, scrubs, and they're fitted differently as well. The scrubs, like the women have like a different neckline and the men's are all like V-neck. Ah. The scrub caps, no one has personalized scrub caps. They're just like the papery, like, I guess, disposable ones, it looks like.
I don't know that I noticed that. Good call out.
Yeah.
Addison's
it
here.
It looked like no one was wearing scrubs other than in the OR. Like, anytime anyone wasn't in the OR, they were in, like, professional clothing. At least the attendings.
We had...
which we, like, see off and on. Like, there's not really consistency with it, but it, like, was, like, very consistent.
Yeah. We had... Addison and Derek, and Addison is pregnant.
Yep.
Pregante. We've got Hunt and Callie are married with three kids.
Mm-hmm.
And April and Meredith
Izzy
are best
was
friends. Izzy was fired.
Izzy was fired for cutting the LVAD wire.
Good.
George ran away after failing the intern exam. Allegedly alive. Reed, no mention. We don't know. Burke left because of something with Christina. Han is not mentioned. Teddy is still in Iraq. Callie thinks Teddy is a man.
Yeah, so, I was like, ah!
Owen is great at communicating. Yeah, I think those are the main differences.
And then, of course, Lexi's a drug person.
Oh, right, yes.
And
Mark is not a doctor at this hospital.
But he is a daddy of a baby in this timeline. Oh man. Freaking Derek. What was it? McDreary.
Yeah. Derek sucks in a whole different way at this timeline. So he still sucks. It is still canon that Derek sucks in every timeline, just in different ways. It's like fun.
He was a booty.
He needs so much therapy.
In all timelines, Derek Shepherd needs therapy.
And so true. And so does Owen Hunt.
It's true. Yeah. Listen, I'm going to go blow my nose. Tell the people what they want to hear about this episode where we're starting.
I will say, I recall when this episode came out, people being like, I don't like a lot of the differences make sense. Like, it makes sense that Derek and Addison would have stayed together. It makes sense that like everyone hates Christina, blah, blah, blah. And like all these things, the things that people really didn't get was they didn't get why they would put Hunt and Callie together. And the consensus was kind of like, well, they both have always had like really deep desires to have children. So it makes sense that they have gotten married and had many, many children. And then the other one was Alex and Meredith. And Alex just being like a nerdy little nerd guy. And I think that I think it tracks. I think you could get there easily.
But he's like, still a douche in the end.
Yeah, just a different way. I mean, if you'll recall, before all the shit went down with the clinical trial, Owen says that he was going to make Alex chief resident. And that is clearly a position that Alex holds. So I think it does align. And then I also think that people just like in the general run of the series have always been like, why don't Meredith and Alex sit together? Because, you know, they're all sleeping with each other. So why wouldn't those two? So I think they were kind of just like, here you go. Shut the fuck up. We've done it now.
So was this episode, was this one that you watched and you received it well? What was kind of like your reaction as you like, boom, Meredith falls asleep, and the first thing you see is Richard Weber is Meredith's dad. Like, what was your initial reaction?
When Ellis is there, you're like, okay, so this isn't real. And again, for me, being like always a big Christina fan, I was like, but wait, what is happening in reality? So I kept waiting for this to just be like a little dream sequence, and then it just kept being the entire episode. It's like, that's all I really remember was being like, but what about reality? What's happening for real?
And they kind of did Christina dirty in this episode.
For me, it's not hard to track how we got to this version of Christina. I don't necessarily think they did her dirty. I just am like, this would have gotten to be an easier. Like, I see how we've arrived at this version. How do you mean specifically?
Like, they make her like weird.
I mean, they you just know? Make her to the nth degree. Christina with no friends and only drive.
Yeah, that's fair. But that's weird, you know? I mean, even like the end scene, isn't that that's a direct quote callback of you look like crap, I look better than you. Impossible.
Well, and also we don't have to do the thing where you say something, then I say something, then one of us cries and we hug. That's also direct from the pilot. And then you look crap, I look better than you, now possible, also direct from the pilot. And then with Derek, I'm just a girl in a bar, I'm just a guy in a bar, whatever. That's also from the pilot.
Oh, so it's been a long time since I've watched that.
It has been a long time since we watched that.
Last time I watched it,
many things have happened. Yes, much has happened.
So let's talk through specific storylines. Which one do you think you want to start with in like our what if alternate universe?
Well, real quick, what was your take on I think one of the other hard things for me to get, and I guess it kind of makes sense because we've seen the backstory of in reality time, but Miranda still being like,
oh, that's Mandy, right.
Mandy. And being like a doormat.
Yeah. And then she gets fired.
Yeah.
Like,
didn't love that.
No, that sucks. Because it's, if they're trying to say that some things are meant to be, what they're saying is Miranda should have ended up this little like worm, like Jerry Smith from Rick and Morty person.
I think the implication is that once she gets fired, she is going to use that motivation to become the Miranda Bailey that we know. Cause she's like, Alex, shut the fuck up. No one cares about your bullshit. Like, I'm fired and I'm not crying. So get your head out of your ass. I
and
just
she
think
never
we don't
knew
see
that
it.
He's the one that screwed her over.
I know. Yeah. Also, what is interesting to me is Ellis still sucks. She still gets the guy that she wants, which is, you know, we're supposed to like believe was a huge part of like why she was so bitter and like resentful to Meredith. So she ends up with this man and she's still terrible, just in new and fun ways. Like, still not a great mom. Like, I would say good leadership in like she's making good decisions on behalf of the hospital. I would not say great leadership in that her entire staff is basically scared of her. And Callie essentially says, like, I didn't follow something I was passionate about because Ellis said I was good at cardio, so I had to do cardio. Like, to me, that doesn't make a good leader. So there are good aspects about her leadership capabilities for sure, based on like the success of the hospital and then her success as a surgeon. But as like a leader of people, I see flaws.
Yeah.
And that to me is where I'm like, oh, that sucks. And then because she does have that moment of vulnerability, but it's only with Richard. And I'm like, why do we need to be so... I don't know. That to me was part of like what one of the things that I was like, that's a bummer. Like, wouldn't it have been great if in this timeline she didn't suck as much? Like,
well, didn't
she got to accomplish all of her dreams and things are okay.
Did she give Meredith a hug in the opening scene?
I don't know.
Maybe I'm remembering
she
that
gives
wrong.
Richard a kiss.
Yeah. It also, you know, when Richard has that scene where he's talking to Meredith about the, you know, getting back up on the bike and your mom wants what's best for you, blah, blah, blah. I think that they're trying to imply that there is some good. We're just not seeing consistent good. And then, yeah, we have that moment of vulnerability where Ellis, you know, is like, obviously it's just with Richard and she's crying and she's like, they're trying to humiliate me. Like, no, dude, like, first off, you didn't read the chart. No one's trying to humiliate
you.
But
I'm
I guess I'll fire this pleb on you, but okay. Yeah. But also, I guess I'll just fire this pleb girl for you, wife.
Yeah.
Whatever. And.
Well, and that's my other thing. I'm like, why can't you fire her? Like, I guess is Richard's chief of surgery and she's chief of staff. Like, this is where it gets just a little muddy for me, and not like to the point of a problem. Just like I have some, that's just questions that I have.
It's a fair question.
And I'm like, if you want to fire her, that's on you. You have the authority. You're the one that's upset about it. Why are you putting it on Richard to fire her?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like where just there's just some things. And I understand, like, you know, they only have like 43 minutes to spell out this very, very different reality. They cannot give us extensive backstory. Like, some of it we're going to have to rely on current knowledge and assumptions. Like, it is what it is.
It's also important to note that even in alternate realities, there's no HR department, because that seems like wrongful termination. So,
yeah. Also interesting to note, because we're like at this point in reality where Meredith has basically decided she is going to pursue general surgery because for a multitude of reasons, some of which including like her mother's legacy. And in this one, Ellis is still a very successful general surgeon, but Meredith is going into cardio. So I'm like, was that the same kind of thing she struggled with, where she was like, well, I don't want to follow my mother's footsteps, so I'll go into something else? Or did her mom just be like, and by the way, you're going into cardio?
Yeah, we got to get rid of Callie Hunt.
Yeah.
You'll be running that show soon, daughter. So, very interesting to call that out, because what was Christina in? She was not cardio.
No, Christina still, is still cardio.
She's still cardio.
And she's still, like, succeeding at it immensely.
Cardio,
and everyone's
God.
Afraid of her.
A lot of good, like, individual scenes, a lot of good group scenes too. We've got a couple good lunch table scenes. We've got a, you know, a scene where they're
in the locker room.
Alex, of course, is cheating on Meredith with April, her best friend, and Christina finds out. Crazy.
I do wish I could have seen all of your reactions to this episode. I would like to know when the episode started and it, like, was the dream sequence. Where was your head at?
I was just excited. I was like, this, I literally, yeah. I think my quote here, hold on, what did it say? And I quote, "Yo, what the fuck is happening? This is so fun." Wait, Weber is her dad? Addison is here and she's pregnant with Derek? Hunt and Callie are married? Like, look at my notes. It's like, it's literally... Yeah. It's all caps. Yeah, I mean, everything is caps.
I agree. I think it's fun to have, like, different type of episodes. You know, we love the episode where the guys are, like, all at Derek's house building the deck. The episode back in, like, season three where all the boys go camping. Anything that where we kind of get the opportunity to just see all these people, like, outside of the regular setting that we see them in. Obviously, this is still the same setting, but it's, like, it's so different. And so it is, I like it. And again, I went into it, you know, knowing, like, people really hate this episode and I'm looking for reasons to be like, why, you know, trying to empathize and understand where people are coming from. Cause it's a lot of people that hate this episode and it's really not poorly done. Like it's well done. They accomplished what they set out to accomplish and it stayed true to the show and it made sense. Do you need this episode? No. Do we love it? Do we appreciate it? Do we gain more from it? Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. It's what here's what's going to happen. I'm going to do a Tony Stark from Iron Man 2 situation, okay? I invite all of the haters of this episode in the world to go to my inbox at
not your
Carmen
house, not got, your address.
Yeah. My e-address at carmen.gabriel.official on Instagram. Let me know why you hated this episode and try to convince me that I'm wrong for loving this episode, because I love this episode.
Yeah.
I would have, honestly, I would have taken a mini half series break where there's three episodes, maybe even four, and then it wakes up and it's like, oh no, Meredith got hit by another fairy or something. Like she accidentally almost
Meredith
drowned,
is drowned again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's, again, I definitely don't hate it the way a lot of people hate it. So it is what it is. I don't know that we had anyone on our Discord voicing the immense hatred of it that we see in a lot of other places. I think it's more just people being like, why is this happening? But I'll double check that when we get to our question area. Okay, so with Derek and Addison specifically, in this timeline, clearly Addison has cheated with Mark. Do we know, or was your assumption that she cheated and they stayed together and there was just not the Meredith, or he was unaware of the cheating at all?
I don't think I have an opinion on that or like where I was thinking. I do want you to know that the second I saw that she was pregnant, I was like, I bet that's Mark's. That's Mark's baby. And when Mark showed up, I was like, ah, he's here to see Addison. He cheated. That's the thing. Or she cheated. But they're so miserable that I'm like, I don't know.
I think that in this reality, obviously she has cheated, but like this is the Derek that was with her before she cheated originally that she says, like, you know, you didn't give a shit about anything. Like, you, I never got you to care about me. Like, I just, like, not to say that it's justifiable and that it's like someone else's fault if you cheat. But I think, like, the way that Addison talks about who Derek was in their relationship when she initially slept with Mark, that's kind of where I feel like this is that timeline. I don't know necessarily how they ended up in Seattle. I assume Richard called them and Ellis says, you know, oh, we had such high hopes for you and you've been just a fucking disappointment and don't make me choose because I sure as shit won't choose you.
Yeah, that was harsh. Let it not be any more clear of which one of the shepherds I like more.
Good for her.
Dingle.
Also, like, duh. Like,
yeah,
easy choice.
Yeah, so, it wasn't. And then like in the beginning scene when they're in that like board meeting and she just kind of like is dumping on him in the middle of it. And then Callie and Arizona are fighting. Yeah, that's just, man, crazy, crazy, crazy.
I think the Callie and Arizona storyline in this episode is one of the only ones that like doesn't, you don't necessarily see it come to fruition the way you're kind of thinking about the other ones in comparison to the real timeline. Cause it's more, I think, just about Callie realizing like, oh, maybe, you know, I'm not like familiar with my sexuality. I've never like thought about this. I just married this man and had this family and, you know, I'm happy and I love it. But then at the end when he like goes to kiss Callie and she's like, oh, I'm like, oh no, she's not having a good time. Like, clearly she is realizing that she's has a spark with Arizona, but because they don't mention Erica Hahn in this, the assumption would be that she's not yet realized she's ever had feelings for a woman. So that to me is, I'm kind of just like, okay, well, you have a full like marriage and multiple children in this timeline. You know, a lot of the other things they kind of took, again, quote Marvel, it's like, it makes me think of I Am Inevitable for all the stuff that like ends up happening. Like, you know, when they say in the voiceover, like it's destiny, it's meant to be, whatever. And so I'm like, do we think that Callie and Arizona end up together in this time? I'm like, obviously we think Christina and Meredith are now friends. Obviously we think Derek and Meredith get together. Like, there are certain things you're like, okay, this is clearly like the trajectory of it that's mirrors the original timeline. But with some of them, I'm like, how does this affect this, the rest of this reality?
I don't think that Hunt and Christina get together after he destroys a window.
And then lies about
apparently,
it his wife.
Apparently, no one tells Callie.
Yeah, I was like, there's a lot of witnesses for this.
HR and isn't involved. Mandatory therapy isn't on the table. Nothing. Nothing.
This is not the first incident.
Also,
which is similar to obviously what we've seen him in the regular show.
Also, you guys, we've seen the glass panes at hospitals. Those MFers are thick. His hand is broken. Like, what is he doing?
And she's like, you don't need stitches. I'm like, does he not? Because that's like two pieces of glass and like some kind of panel chain chicken wire in the middle. Like, yeah. I disagree, Christina. He probably needs stitches.
Yeah, it's problematic.
Yeah.
But
so obviously, yes, they do share a moment, Christina and Owen.
Also, we're led to believe in this timeline, Ellis does not have Alzheimer's.
Yes, obviously. And then we think a moment that I really liked when Christina's like, you really need to tell your wife and you really need to get help. And Owen says, like, she would leave me because she would take the kids because she would be afraid I would hurt them. And Christina goes, you should also be afraid of that. Like, respectfully, self-awareness, look in the mirror, get some help. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good point. And then what does Owen do? Continues to suck.
He lies about it because he's a liar and a booty hole.
So real. So real and so true.
The only thing worse than a liar or a booty hole is a lion booty hole.
Yeah, it's true. There are definitely, like, people still have a lot of their same flaws in this, which is fair. Because, like, yeah, the timeline, whatever, might be a little bit different. But I think who you are at your core is going to be the same.
Yeah, exactly. That was, like, one of the big takeaways I had is, you know, circumstance changes some things. Like, the circumstance.
Yeah.
We're led to believe that, obviously, Alex, we didn't get his back. Excuse me, podcast burp. We didn't get Alex's backstory, but it's safe to assume he still has problematic upbringing. It's right. Just he's channeling it differently. Meredith has clearly been a positive influence on him on the outward and how he's handling things. He has the motivational, we control our destiny thing with Mandy. Mm-hmm. But
which
then,
also
you know,
seems maybe like he's full of shit.
Well, clearly he is, yeah. which real Alex is also, you know, kind of full of shit. So, and then April, not a virgin in this timeline.
Yes.
You're my person.
Yeah. And then, so I think the main catalyst in this timeline of difference is Ellis and Richard being together and then Ellis not being sick. So Meredith's childhood is completely different. And then Ellis's career is very different. And obviously that would continue to affect Meredith because she has had a positive relationship with her parents. Lexi, on the other hand, is not having a good time.
That girl has it rough.
Lexi's mom died, I assume, the same way.
Of the sneeze.
And then Thatcher killed himself. And she was like, I'm going to do some drugs. I'm going to do all the drugs. Still has a photographic memory. Love that they threw that in. Love Jackson being the one to kind of work with her in the ER and be like, this could be your second chance. And then she manipulates him and steals his ID so that she can rob the hospital of lots and lots of opioids. And then runs away and almost dies a second time. So things are going really well.
Yeah, that moment that Hunt came up to him and was like, hey, we got to talk. Because you stole a lot of drugs, Jackson. And I'm like, no, he didn't. He didn't do it. And then he sprints over there and he opens the curtain. Dramatic effect. She's gone. She took my key card badge. She's framing me. She's going to die. This was her second chance.
That's really all we get with Jackson in this episode is like him with the Lexi, which I don't mind because I feel like we don't need a whole lot from him more. Same with Charles. Like, we don't get a lot from him other than like, oh, he's in love with April instead of in love with Reed. And then he says, someone shoot me, which is very funny.
Just the funniest. Just the funniest. And he like really leans into it too. It's what was going on. They're at the...
It's when Meredith is bitching about Christina in the surgery and Christina comes in. And Meredith is like, okay, well, fuck you, because Bert could have been the one teaching us, but you did something and he ran away. And Christina's like, oh, you want to fucking share some shit? Why don't you ask your fiance what he's doing with your bestie in the office? And that's when Alex immediately tries to lie and April immediately starts crying. And that's when Charles is like, somebody just shoot me.
Yeah, shoot me now. And I'm like, yo, I had to watch that scene no less than 300 times. It was just so funny. Like these writers, you guys, man, if any of you know these writers personally in your life, send this to them because they need to hear this. You really know how to write
and talk to us.
Yeah. First off, come on the show and talk to us. You really know how to write a show. That was comedic.
Yeah.
It was meta level. It was funny. I guess comedic includes funny.
Part about the writing of this episode and like clearly writers knowing the characters is if you brought in writers who aren't familiar with these characters in the way that these writers clearly are, again, this episode would have tanked, like been really easily just been like, what are you doing? Like it, there's enough similarities to the actual timeline that it makes sense to see this version of it. If you bring in writers who have like not worked with the show or just aren't familiar with the characters, like both of these guys have worked on the show before. So they know these characters. Or if you just like clearly the writer's room has always been talented, and we've said this in many episodes, like they just know these characters and it just always makes sense, right? Things track a lot. And I think that's why for me, the episode works and does a good job at what it's trying to do. Because if you just bring it in and you're like, what if everything was different and we were all completely different humans? Like, to me, like if Christina was coming in and acting like April, I would be like, this doesn't work.
Right.
But obviously that's not how they went with it. So again, I think they keep enough of like the core of who people are so that it makes sense.
Yeah. I love it. All right, what do you think? Let's do a second half. We could actually talk about some of the cases. All the weird things that happen in some of these cases.
Yes, let's chit chat about that right after everyone's favorite segment.
Ha ha.